Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
And to the sweet sounds of Kevin Bloody Wilson, it's Hump Day with Swanee and friends Dane Swan and special guest friend Kate McCarthy for coming in. Thank you.
Thanks for having me. No worries. Swanee, it's your pod. You go first.
Well, so you've learned straight away.
What are we going to talk about, Ralph? I don't do a heap of homework for this podcast, I must admit.
No, I didn't expect you to.
Me getting here is about... Well, I get away from the kids for a couple of hours, so it's not bad.
And look, I thought I'd get in touch with you. I was listening to Triple M on Thursday nights, and I think you sort of fit our groove, which is good.
Definitely.
And I'm sure that's a good thing.
I mean, it is a good thing.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Isaac Smith's come on that. He's fit in seamlessly.
Yes.
And then obviously your good mate that you like to punch in the head a few times, Daisy.
How is he?
Yeah, he's great.
Is he recovered from the beating I gave him?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, okay. He's getting there. I mean, he's a great guy, so I felt a bit sorry for him getting a beating that he got, but he said it was worth it for the payday, so he's happy about that.
And I looked after him.
Thank you for looking after him.
No worries. He's a busy man. He's the busiest man in football, so he tells everyone, so didn't want to put him out with a concussion. As we know, people are retiring left and right. I didn't want him to be the first person to retire from concussion from radio.
How'd you get into it?
So I was up in Brisbane playing up there, and I was doing a little bit of media for the club, and a friend of mine, Sam Hargraves, was working up there for Triple M, and I sort of was really enjoying the media stuff and thought that might be something that I wanted to get into. And Daniel Merritt was doing the boundary up there the year before, and he was going back to be the runner for the Lions. So there was a spot on the boundary, and Sam put my name forward and got on the boundary for a year, and then jumped into specials pretty much ever since. So I think I've been doing specials for 6 years now. So yeah, I've been loving it. Just fit in really well. Enjoy the vibe at Triple M too. Just take the piss a little bit and have a bit of fun with the boys and have a bit of banter. So yeah, it fits in really well with me.
It feels like everyone gets a job at Triple M, don't they?
Just about everyone. Yeah.
It feels like it's not hard to just walk up to and knock on the door and you get a job. Yeah. Apart from one specific individual that can't get a job anywhere.
Mind you, that specific individual's, and it's none of my business, but that specific individual tends to have a certain pay grade that he won't turn up from here.
Yeah, well, I'm busy on the weekends at the moment, giving back to like rural communities.
Giving back, taking.
I'm giving back to like rural communities, but
you've got to learn the lingo here, Kate.
Maybe when that's done, I might try and get my foot in it. But I like my weekends to myself, to be honest.
Because the thing is, as you've generously said on this podcast before, you'll always be relevant.
Yeah, well, I'll get told fucking regularly that I'm not. I'm very irrelevant. I'd like to be.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I don't know why. Well, I'm not good enough to be in the Hall of Fame, so I'm not sure why.
Well, not in your first year.
No, not in my first year. No.
Yeah. So that's another sore point of Dave's. He's still waiting for that.
It's my own podcast, Kate, but yet everything just seems to be fucking picked. I get picked on.
Yeah.
Oh, my own podcast. It's not on.
It's not on. It's not very nice.
Well, I'll bring it back to you. Do you know what the most important club is in this podcast? You might think it's Collingwood, but it's not.
I thought it would be Collingwood or Melbourne.
Do you know what Swan FC is?
No.
Can you explain, just to Kate and others?
That's my football club. It's me.
It's you. It's your brand.
No, because I'm playing football regularly on the weekends.
For different clubs.
Just giving back. You're asking how we went on the weekend.
Well, that's a good starting
point.
Yeah,
we played... Tyrandara, have you heard of that? Tyrandara?
No.
Tyrandara? No, well, not many have. But I went down there, wonderful people. I felt a lot better this on Saturday than I did the Saturday before, let me tell you. I was telling Kate before we started, I didn't get off on the best of feet. I was lucky to be on my feet by Saturday in King Lake. But no, we did. Well, I got a win. So I'm 1-1 for the year. We got flogged, we got about 5-6 goals, King Lake. This week we beat the running premiers by about 50 points.
So Swan FC just does different guest appearances at different leagues.
Just give back to local rural communities who have struggled.
Yeah.
And just trying to lift them and raise some money for wonderful, in brackets, wonderful football clubs. So 1-1. We couldn't have picked a better day for footy. I played at night. I was like 5:39. I was like, oh, shit, country footy. This could end up anywhere. The weather could be horrific. Honestly, you couldn't have got a better night at the MCG. It was just magnificent for football. Not a breath of wind. It was like 18-19 degrees. It was perfect. And I was sober. So
it's always a plus, isn't it?
Yes, I'd had a week of normality. Felt as good as I could. I boxed, I bashed Daisy. I hadn't done any football training, so I was worried I was going to hurt myself. So last week, King Lake, basically the first time I kicked a ball, and I didn't really kick it that much. That game, so I didn't touch it much. But I've got back into the group.
It's probably a good way to ease into it then.
It was.
So no overuse injuries from the first one because you hardly touched it.
Certainly was not. But I touched it a fair bit on the weekend.
So normally we go to our questions later, but from this one, this is relevant. From Reese 1997, was Saturday night the first time Swanee stayed at his football club's president's house? What does that mean?
There's no hotels in Tyrandara. Right. So I had to stay at the president's house. He was fine. Everyone went back there. But I was driving to Dalesford the next morning. My family were up there, so we're going up there. Went to the Hepburn Springs. Had some recovery in. Swan FC is a professional outfit. We don't fuck around. I'm up in a place called Talangatta this week.
Talangatta,
yes. Close enough. Yeah.
I haven't heard of either of them.
Either or I do. Punch them in Google a couple of days before I go. But they're all lovely people. Great place.
Hang on. So you say that if they give you like a small stipend for your petrol, you don't check how close to Melbourne they are? You just say, yes, no worries, I'll give back?
I'm not the travelling Wilburys. Okay, anywhere. Listen, if a club's struggling and needs buy whatever influence I can have to help a club raise some money to buy some players or to buy a new scoreboard or to get the women's footy up and going, whatever it is, I'm a man of the people.
But the further you have to drive, the more petrol you'll need.
That's fair. That's a fair point. The stop might just...
So does Swan FC, you know how all football clubs, all organisations, they've got a tagline or a motto? Have you come up with one for Swan FC?
No.
Anywhere, anytime, any price. Yeah, is that what it is?
I scratched the last fucking saying, but I just try not to get hit these days. But no, they were a wonderful... I haven't been to a footy club, it's been a bad bunch of people yet, as we all know. No matter what football club you go to, they've all got wonderful people in them. But they had a great day. I think they said it was about the equivalent of their local granny. It's not the MCG, but it was 3,000 or something like that. 4,000.
It's an AFLW game.
So they were really good. So, we did the function and then went back. I forgot where I was going with that story. So I was going to Dalesford because Tatalis wanted to get out of the house with the kids. So that was 3 hours. I was like, well, I can't drive 3 hours in. And the UFC 300 was on. So I was like, I need to be home. I need to be at the house by midday so I can watch... You know how hard it is to watch the UFC prelims while driving down dirt roads at 120 k's an hour? It's very fucking hard.
It's a struggle.
It is a struggle. I need one of those like things you stick on the mirror, you know what I mean? Like where the Uber drivers have the... So I need a way out so I could just have the UFC on. But it was... Because I was driving in remote areas, the 4G was really starting to test my fucking patience. Right in the middle of all the good fights. So I got... So... But he was like, oh, do you mind if a couple of boys come back? You know, they want to come over. I was like, yeah, no problem. But like, I got to drive for 3 hours and I need to be back by midday so I can watch the fight. So I went to bed. Two people turned about 40. And man, I was like, fuck, I just hate saying no. So I had a couple. By 1 o'clock, I was like, I got to go to bed. So man, I heard him carrying on and on, which is fine. It's his house. He can do what he likes. But yeah, no, great bunch of people. They had a win. They beat the reigning premiers. Got them off to a good start. They're probably going to miss about 35 to 40 off half back, but
the body pick that up, please, yeah. Kate.
But I wasn't the reason why they won the game because they went miles in front.
They're on.
Yeah. Oh, they won easily. So good on them. Yeah. Now Dalesford was good. What else are doing? The UFC 300.
Okay, so Dalesford itself
poisoning up there. I heard in Trenton the other night.
That's
the
not good.
Wellness
more
centers.
Mushrooms.
That's not great.
Yeah, well, I was. What a box of mushrooms. Yeah.
So a long time ago, because I'm old, Kate, this might shock you, but when my now wife, but then girlfriend, we did the night away thing at Dalesford. The trauma of going into a romantic night away, seeing that room and not seeing a big TV there. Did you at least have that?
No, I didn't have a big TV, but I was a prerequisite. There's no romantic nights away when you've got three kids under three.
By the way, they're drilling something at Kuyong here, so we're just going to plow through.
Yeah, that's fine. No, the TV was probably the size. It was probably that big. I don't know.
Microwave oven size.
Yeah, yeah, it wasn't great. And the Wi-Fi, I nearly went. Geez, we nearly had a big blue the second I got there. I was like, fucking internet's not working. Like, what is going on here? Like, it was frozen. And Tal had to work on Monday, too. So she copped it on the Monday. I was like, hey.
Can't do anything about
exactly.
It.
Exactly. Okay. So the Wi-Fi was a little bit splotchy, which really annoyed me because UFC 300 was really good, but there's nowhere romantic when you've got three young kids under three. It's just you're just fucking living away. Like, you know, there's no holidays, just living away from home.
Somewhere different.
Well, exactly, with kids. But I got back yesterday. Yeah, and go home, watch the planes today. Kids are sent take the daycare. The girls can just wander and walk around on their own. They're starting to walk, so they can just walk around the house for 2 o'clock till the basketball's finished.
Parenting 101.
Oh, they're old enough. They can walk it old enough to go to the fridge.
This is now a parenting podcast.
Exactly. Pretty much. They can't really reach the fridge, but I might put a tie string on it and like, I can open it up and get it out
there.
Fetch you
some things as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, are you giving back to the local community too?
I'm playing some VAFA. So the plan was to play some VFL this year, VFLW. Haven't been able to because I miss every Thursday night with obviously doing Triple M, so I'm perfect. Regular on Thursday night. So
you miss training.
Yeah, so VFL's become a little bit more serious these days, so I can't miss a Thursday and still play apparently.
Really?
Jesus. Gone back to VAFA, but it's so much fun. Played my first game last weekend, Old Caulfield, so lots of fun. The grammarian's there. Friend of mine's the coach, so just heaps of fun. We got a win on the weekend, which was great, and I think we got Q this weekend, so that'll be a good game as well. But yeah, just enjoyable.
So you came down to Melbourne chasing AFLW, yeah?
So I was traded down to St Kilda. So I was playing for the Lions for 3 years,
yeah.
And then Saints had their first team in the fourth year, so got a really good offer from St Kilda and kind of wanted to move to Melbourne with the media stuff as well because there's obviously so much footy down
here.
More
happening.
Yeah. And sort of the home of footy as everyone proclaims it to be, which it is. So, yeah, moved down here to play with St Kilda for 3 years and also, yeah, really got to do a lot more games each week because up in Brisbane there's one every fortnight and you travel down the Gold Coast every other week. So the max you can do a week is a game. Yeah. So, I've loved it here. It's been great.
So I'm doing a bit of prep, Dane.
Yeah,
catch a podcast of Kate when she first moves down here in 2019, and you were complaining about Melbourne's winter weather.
Yes,
which is fair enough for a Queensland girl.
Yes,
what if someone said to you, "That's the least of your problems over the next 2 years in Melbourne in winter"?
Yeah, absolutely. That was bad timing, wasn't it? So
did you not get out?
Nah, not at all. And my parents had absolutely no idea what COVID was up in Brisbane. So I reckon every other state had about a 4-day lockdown.
Yeah.
We had about a 4-year lockdown. Yeah. And I remember the point where I realised that they had no idea what was going on. is you know how we had the 5 kilometer radius thing?
Yeah. Oh, I'm well aware.
Yeah. Which just now looking back is just wild. Like you couldn't even go for 2 walks a day. No. It was 1 walk, that was it, which is just
couldn't push your kids on a swing.
Yeah. That's not it. Them, they're closed. The kids, yeah, swings
exactly,
are closed.
Exactly.
And the best thing for your health was not to do exercise.
Yeah, that's it. Apparently. Yeah. Sit inside all day and look at the four walls and jump on a Zoom meeting every health, 10 apparently. Minutes. Anyway, I was talking to my dad and they'd call all the time and they were trying to check in and be lovely about it, which was very helpful in their mindset. They were trying. But it would make me more upset because I was like, I've got nothing to update you on. Like, I've done nothing. And so dad one night goes, oh, well, like, what are you doing tonight? And I was like, nothing. And then he goes, oh, well, surely you've got some restaurants in your 5 kilometer radius. I was like, Dad, they're not open. Like, the restaurants are not open. Yes, there's some, but everything's closed. And I was just like, you really have no concept of what is going on in Melbourne, do you?
So on the plus side, you get through it and everything's great then.
Absolutely.
Because you saw the bottom of it, right?
Yeah. So I think the worst part, though, is my first 2 or 3 winters, I had no idea what winter was because I was just sitting at home in my trackies with the heater on. And then the first one when I was actually working, I was like, this is freezing.
Yeah,
like, it's not good. Nah.
So it's the wind. The wind's fucked you.
Yeah.
Well, you can cop the rain. You cop being cold because you can layer
you know
up and
that
stuff
it's raining.
Like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The wind, mate, just pierces you.
Yeah.
It's fucking horrific.
Freezing.
You would have enjoyed the time in the bay for recoveries, for instance.
Yeah, no, not a big fan of being in the bay.
Heard you love sand as well.
Oh, I hate sand. Nah. Well, if it's like, it stays on you for about 3 days. How the fuck is this still on me?
It's a bit like glitter.
I've had 7 showers since. I actually jumped in the cold plunge at Hepburn Springs. Yeah. I was like, Taylor was like, could you have been in for a minute? I was showing off. What was it? I was like, fuck, I thought it was. I did it then. I just haven't stood in an ice bath in a minute, I think, my whole career. But it wasn't that cold, so I was all right. But we wore a wet... Me and Benny Johnson wore a wetsuit down it one day and because there was no rule, you know, you'd always just try and, you know, do something without breaking the rules, but there was no rule saying you weren't allowed to wear a wetsuit. Then the next week, no wetsuits allowed.
But you got one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was, nah. Did you have to do any penalties like 6 a.m. at Kerford Road and stuff like that?
Nah, they couldn't make us because we all had to go to work, so they can't do penalties like that.
It's not a bad gig, mate. Yeah, don't. Oh, that wasn't good. No.
So now that you've lived 2 years of proper Melbourne culture,
yes.
What struck you about the place?
I just love
compared
how much
to expectations.
Yeah, just I mean, obviously, you know, there's a lot going on in Melbourne, but I just love how much is going on.
Whereabouts are you? You
know, so we're in Coburg. Yeah. So we were in Brunswick for a bit. It was a bit busy for us. More so, just like, everything's so built up in Brunswick and you move 5 minutes sort of further north and you've got families and a little bit more space for a little less money as well per week. So that's always handy. But yeah, there's so much going on. I love how much footy. Everyone loves their footy down here. Everyone knows what's going on every weekend with footy. And then, yeah, I've obviously gotten used to the weather. The thing that got the most, I think, confusing was the fact that the sun's out doesn't mean it's hot. In Brisbane, if the sun's out, it's hot.
Yeah.
So I used to, sun's out, put my shorts and a t-shirt on and walk the dogs. And I'd be like, oh my God, this is freezing. So it would turn into a run to try and warm up. But I love the place. I don't think I'll be sort of moving back to Queensland anytime soon. Obviously miss the family and stuff, but get back there when I can. But Melbourne really feels like home now.
And did it help or hinder having no set opinion or knowledge of some of the icons that you've now worked with in the media game or ex-players, if you like to?
I think at first, I obviously knew who I was working with.
Yeah.
But
personal knowledge of them.
Yeah. I think probably... Probably hindered a little bit. I think it took a little while to earn some respect.
Yeah.
And then you kind of work out when you've earned it and, oh, all right. Like, you'd sort of say something. Yeah, I agree, Kate. Like, that's great, actually. Good analysis. It's like, yeah, well, like, I'm sorry that that's a surprise, but it would be nice if that was the starting point. But, no, I love the guys that I work with at Triple M. Obviously, like I said, took a little bit to earn some respect in the area, but yeah, love working with them and they've been nothing but supportive, which has been great.
But it's been the biggest probably change in my life watching sport is that now women are just considered part of it. So,
yeah.
But you do, to be one of the first, you actually have to break through a bit and get that respect because then then it then gets its own momentum.
Yeah, definitely. I think the thing that really was the difference in Brisbane, the Gabba, everything's really like closed off. You can't see the other commentary boxes. You don't really know what's going on anywhere else, which is very different at the MCG and at Marvel because it's all glass panels. You can see the whole, you can see who's from Champion Data. You can see every radio broadcast lineup that they've got. So I remember the first few games there, I just sort of look around and I literally was like, wow, like there are no other women here. Like there was no female producers. There was no women in the media box at all. None. This was going back sort of 3 or 4 years. And I was just like, wow, like this is crazy. Hadn't really realized that until I got to that. And then the thing that I have a real bugbear with is at Marvel Stadium, there's actually no female toilet in the media center. So that was another real eye-opener.
That's change.
Yeah. So that's – and it still is. I've actually got to the point where I'm going to print out and laminate my own sign and just whack it up on the unisex toilet because the men have a urinal. So you can imagine what goes on in the toilet when the boys use the toilet and then I have to go use it as well. So I'm going to start printing out my own female.
Those bikes are getting on a bit. You know, the floor, it's a long way from the floor to the bowl.
Yes, exactly. No, 100%. You're right. You're not wrong there. So, yeah, that's a bit gross. So, yeah, I'm just going to start printing out my own female sign and if they want to use a toilet, they can go down the end like I have to. So.
And what do you think you can bring opinion-wise compared to blokes who have played AFL compared to AFLW or your own just observational skills?
Oh, I think I was a teacher previously, so that's my other career that I don't have to do anymore. shout out to all the teachers that work very hard. But I think that's given me the ability to be really concise and punchy with my communication. And I'm not saying that as a knock to the guys that have played footy, that they're not educated or anything like that. Please don't take that the wrong way. But I think just able to really jump in and jump out really quickly.
A lot of us aren't
quickly.
Educated, so that's all right.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Jump in and jump out really quickly. But also I think seeing the game a little bit differently. I haven't grown up in an AFL household. I haven't grown up in an AFL system. I obviously played at the highest level that I could as a female in the AFLW, but we were coached differently to how the boys are coached. We've had different things to overcome than the boys have. So I think I just have a different perspective sometimes on how I see things compared to how the boys see things. So, and that's the same as how Isaac sees it differently to Daisy and Daisy sees it differently to BT or Nathan Brown. So I think regardless of gender, we all bring really different things, which is why we work together as a call team as well.
Don't see things differently.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think I see things normally. Everyone actually sees things differently. What do you think of the AFLW? How do you think it's going?
Yeah, I think my biggest sort of, I guess, concern was how quickly it expanded. I think we got that wrong, or the AFL got that wrong. I think the second part to bring in the 18 teams happened way too quickly and diluted the competition. We were starting to really grow and then the last expansion has brought things back a little bit.
Can I put a counterpoint?
Yeah.
Everyone wants to barrack for someone.
Absolutely, but those teams didn't submit an initial license.
No, I accept that. Yeah. No, what I'm saying is that it actually was a good strategy. Yeah. In 10 years' time or 20 years' time, that'll be seen as a good strategy.
Yeah.
But it's short-term pain.
Yeah, definitely.
Because everyone wanted a backup.
Yeah, and that's basically where they got to. Every team wants one. Every club wants a team. The thing that I have is like, well, yeah, like 6 or 7 years ago, you didn't have the foresight, those clubs, to think that it was going to be a great thing for your club. You didn't submit an initial license and now you're banging down the door wanting one because everyone else that saw it got on the front foot. Yeah. So that's the concern for me, but you're so right. Like, and even now, like comparing commercial income from men's and women's, you can't really quantify it anymore because you'll have sponsors that come to the club that want to sponsor the women's team. And you'll have sponsors that come to the club that want to sponsor both or want to sponsor the men's team.
Couldn't get a drilling sponsor.
No. Oh, Makita's going hard. But yeah, and even families. So mum might not have ever had an AFL membership, but mum takes son or daughter to the AFLW. Oh, let's sign up as AFLW members. Oh, we're AFLW members. We may as well all the whole family be AFL and AFLW members. So that's more financial income for the club. But you can't just split it and say, oh, well, the men's team brings in this and the women's team brings in this. I just don't think the way that we look at holistically now is possible to say we don't bring in any money, but the men bring in all this money because there's so much crossover.
It's generational now. Change.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
So, because my daughter plays under 17s.
Yeah.
And so, Dane, this strikes me.
Goal umpire?
I'm the goal umpire, yeah.
Yeah.
Who does she play for?
Up the road.
How accurate are you? Did you have to do any training for that?
I actually fucked up on Sunday. And
how?
Well,
he tried to send it to goal review. No, but there wasn't one.
There was the late afternoon sun, pretty much as you expect.
Do you wear a hat, like proper old school, with a coat?
Yeah, coat.
I got the coat, yeah. Yeah. And there's a fine line between looking like a dad, looking like you need a worker with children's certificate.
Yeah, yeah.
But one of the girls, a bloke every time in their life who's grown up playing footy would have gone, touched.
Yeah.
And the girl went for it and I couldn't see. And it's hit her shoulder and gone through. And I thought, I don't think she hit it. And it was our team.
Yeah.
I've called a goal and I touched it. And then the field umpire, I said, I couldn't see. So the field umpire's overruled. So 3/4 time went to it. She's a mate of my daughter's. And I said, let that be a lesson to you. If in doubt, just lie.
Was it a close game? Or?
No. It wouldn't have made the difference. But
no.
Always. Remember Mark Graham who played for Hawthorn?
Yeah.
I heard Luke Hodges talking about, there was some controversy about whether a player touched it. And Luke Hodges started laughing. He said, Mark Graham, every time.
Yeah, touched.
Would, and coincidentally, I know him. I bumped into him at work. I said, heard Hodgie talk about it. He said, mate, 2 a year I'd get. Girls are too honest. Yep. So they're going to learn that. And you're going to have to deal with this, Dane, when your twins come through.
Yeah, no, terrific. Yeah, no, I can't wait. Yeah, they're just starting to walk now, so they're giving me grief already.
Don't worry, they'll learn how to lie to their dad. It's all good.
Oh, fuck yeah. I hope they do. I don't want to know what they're doing, so I hope they do lie to me.
100%.
Yeah.
A couple of footy issues that we like talking about. Mm-hmm. The first one, Tom Liberatore. Have you ever unexpectedly fallen over?
Not unless I was under the influence. Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. No, I don't think so. No, was that what he did on the weekend?
Did you miss that?
Oh, mate, I was giving back.
No,
I was
on
no reception. I had no reception out there. I was being very charitable.
Do you want to explain it?
Yeah, so he'd copped a hit sort of about 3 or 4 minutes before, and then was in the middle of the ground, no one around him really, and just stumbled and fell over, and there was vision from down the ground showing it. And then after the game, he said he had a tweaked ankle, which it clearly wasn't.
Which usually makes you fall
he's
over.
He's using the just lie.
Yeah.
So he can play this because they need him this week.
That's
but
it.
I think they win this week.
So, yeah, he passed out and then, well, passed out is probably.
So did your media antenna go up, the fact that they put him up to all the media straight after the game saying, no, I'm right, you know, good as gold.
Yeah. I don't know if they knew about it. So I don't reckon they would have seen the vision until they put him up, really.
Right.
And how then did he speak?
He just said
he spoke like normally.
Yeah, he sounded fine.
Yeah.
They've put him into concussion protocols, though, just because the vision looked pretty bad. So he won't play this weekend. Yeah.
But they said there was no concussion, which was, it was bizarre, wasn't it?
Yeah, so he passed all his tests,
yep.
Had no signs of concussion the next day or anything. But I think the AFL would have tapped him on the shoulder and said he can't play this week with the vision that we've seen.
Did you come through the concussion test era?
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Have you been concussed?
Yeah, I've had two bad ones. I had one that was really bad. Ended up sort of just getting back in the time frame. But I find that they're really bad to start with and then they sort of come good. But you never know in the first couple of days how long it's going to last. It's a bit scary, really, like when you have a bad one.
Because you're pretty good, weren't you?
No, I just didn't stick my head over the ball.
Yeah.
No, I generally never got concussed.
Neither did I. I don't shove my head over it or go back with a flight. I just got tackled once in a bit of emotion. But yeah, I'm the same. Like, I'm not going back with a flight.
No.
Absolutely.
I'm very good at just short stepping. No, I never got concussed ever. I don't, well, if I do, I can't remember. That's, well, maybe I did get
maybe
concussed.
Did.
I can't remember it, but nah, never.
So I heard you say that. You've and you just touched on it then, but you proudly never went back with the flight of the ball.
Yeah, no, never went back with the flight. I still won't. I feel like it's this. You're either someone that just doesn't think about those things on a football field, and before you know it, you've gone back with the flight, or you're someone that's like, shit, like I'm about to go back with the flight, and I'm gonna have to like wear one here. So I sort of started to work out where to move my body to kind of. If I could get a hand in or anything, but I would never go back with the flight to cop one.
Yeah, well, I was too valuable to my team to be off the ground. So,
fair.
Yeah, so I was like, you know, one spoil or, you know, just missed the rest of the year. I was too valuable, I thought.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what coach has seen it that way, but especially my second one. But that was my excuse.
Yeah.
And tell Kate about the time you copped the spray for not going back with the flight of the ball from Brendan Goddard.
That was in a practice match. Yeah. No, he was.
So well, she doesn't. Kate might know the different thinking from a practice match.
Practice match. I just don't know why people try and practice matches. Especially the senior blokes is all you.
Yeah.
You know, you guys, you watch run around, get a couple of kicks. All right, I've still got it. Bang, cue on the rack. Yep. Don't run around. We're playing a practice match against the Saints at Marvel, or fucking idea, whatever it was called. And I don't know why I was going. The ball came out. It was perfect to like go back with a fly, and I just, as clear as day, just backed out. I think I even ducked my head. Just moved out of the way. And Rewell came out and took a chest mark, 40 yards straight in front, and Goddard fucking ran from about 100 metres away. You weak. It's supposed to be, mate. It's a fucking practice match. Yeah. I said, relax. And I said, of course I would. I'll pull out every other day of the week. I'm not getting a knee jammed in my back while Rewell in a practice match, mate. Yeah. Just calm down a bit, please. And yeah, and that was it. I think we won the flag that year. So. Yeah.
Lucky you didn't get back with the flag.
Exactly, yeah.
Never know, you could have been out for the season, never would have won the flag.
and speaking about the differences, pre-season training, tell us about your attitude to pre-season training for yourself.
I think up in Brisbane was a real slog. We used to have a Saturday morning session in the absolute belting heat up in Brisbane. So I was not a big fan of pre-season. I hated pre-season.
Day one, how fit were you when you turned up?
First couple of years, real fit. Last few, not very.
Yeah. You get smarter.
Yeah. But probably to my own detriment, to be honest. When I was fitter, I played a lot better, as probably most do. So, I hate running. I don't know why I chose a sport that has so much running. Yeah. And I'm sure you can relate.
I agree.
Sonny.
I'm not a big ref for running.
Yeah. The amount of running that we'd have to do. And running
when there's a purpose. Like I can run on a football field when I've got to chase the ball.
Absolutely.
Running to a cone for 15 minutes, I've sprint. It's like, I was the most mentally weak person when it came to that shit. Like running into a KO.
Yeah.
Like me and Madge or Leon Davis, we'd start at the back and we'd run past each other like about five times in a four lap race. It'd be like,
I've
got a bit of energy now. I got to run past. Oh, nah, fuck this. I can't be bothered now. It's like, I would always think, because you run on a running track, if I just put my step on this, will I just roll my ankle just enough to be able to get out of this? Like, this is so boring. But when the footage came out, like, you know, on the MCG, if there was a ball 80 minutes away, mate, a same bolt wouldn't beat me to it.
Yeah.
But like, if it, mate, running to a current on a December, like, mate, Ralphie'd beat me to it. Like, if I just
I can relate to that so much. And we have to do so much. Well, we had to. Now the girls are lucky they've sort of contracted all year round and go to do group sessions and stuff. But it was all self-motivated, all of it in most of the off-season, and not getting paid, not doing anything, getting three or four sessions a week when you've just finished.
You
and
just
it's
lost
like,
it when you said not getting paid.
Yeah. None of it was paid. None of it. Like so much. So you're expected to come in pre-season day one at maybe 80-90% fitness.
Yep.
But we're not going to pay you a cent to get to that point. And if you're not fit, like if we wanted to take the road of, well, you're not paying me, I'm coming in whatever condition, you won't get picked. Like you just won't play.
Yeah.
So, and it was, you're at the local park running on your own in whatever conditions it is. And just mentally it was like, I cannot do this. I don't want to be here. And just the battle, you're so right. Like, oh, if I just roll my ankle now, exactly. Will I be able to stop?
No one's watching. Self-motivation, that's one. You said that's one thing I struggle with. But I was like, I'd get out of bed and be like, can't be fucked. Like, I'll try it twice tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'll do even more tomorrow. And then it gets tomorrow and like, I'll have a really good go Friday.
Yeah.
And I won't drink this weekend. Then I'm like, it's just kicking the can down the road. Yeah. I got 2 weeks. I got 3 days for pre-season. Yeah. Better jump on the tread and do a 2K. You run in about 8.5 minutes. Like, fuck, here we go. I got to get out of training Monday.
That's exactly it. And I have ADHD and I wasn't diagnosed till I finished playing.
Wow.
And self-motivation is, it's fucked. Like when you have ADHD, everything is just like, I'll do this really quickly for a hit of dopamine. I'm not doing this for a long-term game. Yeah. And then since I've sort of been medicated, I'm like, fuck, I wish I was on this for my career because I just like wake up, I work all day and I've still got energy to go for a run of a night. Jeez. I'm like, that could have prolonged my career by a good 5 or 6 years. Like, what was I doing?
And one of the great things, many great things that women have brought to the sport is different thinking.
Yep.
And sometimes dinosaurs struggle to adapt to different thinking, such as, do you think it's okay for players not to be weighed and fat-shamed anymore, as in men players?
Because
some dinosaurs didn't like that.
Yeah, I know. But I know the thinking around it with men's footy. I get that, and it's always just been a part of men's footy. But I think younger men now are a different breed to what men of previous generations have been.
Have you noticed that early 20s are different to you?
I just like someone else to be fat shamed on the back page of the paper.
Yeah, and I think that's like I think if you reflect, it's probably didn't do great things for your mental health.
No, you're someone that maybe doesn't care, either way. I found it funny, but
yeah, right. Yeah. I guess we're not all wired like you, though. No, some of us take it a little bit harder.
But my skin folds are always, I had it down to a perfect size. I was just under what they were. I always had to be under 50. I was like 49.8, 49.9. Yeah. But speaking of the preseason, the one where I was on the back page, the paper and headline was Fat Chance. Well, because I was first day of preseason, and I purposely did whatever I could to get out of stuff in the offseason. So I think a couple of times I faked a foot injury so I'd get a jab in my foot in my medical, so I could don't run for 8 weeks. Perfect. So I wouldn't have to do anything in the off season. I'd come back and I'd start, you know, training. So I'd been away, and I think I even had my hip done or something like that. And first day pre-season, I had to run like 4 laps, and I was fucking rooted. So I had my shirt off, and then they took a photo. Fat Chance. I was like, whatever. So
Kate would have been in Queensland at the time.
Yeah.
I miss the old days where you could be fat shamed and no one bat an eyelid. I enjoy being in Fat Club. It was a badge of honour knowing I was called fat and still better than 99% of footballers. Still no apology from the Herald Sun about this. I was all Australian this year.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I was. We've talked about this ad nauseum on the podcast, but I believe kids come back in too good a shape now. Because all they can do is get hurt. Because you can't, what was your 2K? Did you do 2K time trials?
Yeah, we did 1.6.
1.6. Say your best is 6 minutes or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Like if you run a 5:50 day one of preseason.
Yeah, good luck improving.
You're running 5:30. You're not. Yeah. Like same bulk, no one can run a 6 second, well, maybe in 1,000 years, but like 6 second 100 meters. So eventually my theory was all you're going to do is hit the ceiling, and the other thing you're going to do is regress or get hurt.
Yeah.
So me, I'd come back in, you know, out of shape for a professional athlete, but and you'd get in trouble for day one of preseason. That all same shit had happened. You get your skinnies done, right? You'd be in Fat Club. Ray McLean or someone to come in, and righto, boys, who didn't look after themselves well in the preseason, in the off season.
Same people straight up.
Why? Well, because it wasn't preseason, guys. It's an off season. It's off season to get off. It's not a preseason. Like it's 8 weeks off where you mentally refresh. Idea went away, travelled. Yeah, you can yell at me now. Let's just wait till February when the balls come out. We'll see who's fucking complaining. They don't go, well, who's going to be picked round one? Well, shit, Dane Swan came back with pretty high skinnies in October and he didn't run real well.
But he's looking good now.
Yeah, he had 40 in the practice match and like, so now we won't pick him. Like, come on. Yeah. So,
no, that's fair. I reckon that's a good science. I reckon you absolutely excelled at that, to be honest.
Oh, I think so.
Smarter, not harder.
Okay, hey, never, true words never been spoken on
Swanee
this podcast.
Swanee FC, smarter, not harder.
My word. Absolutely.
Another one about brutal conversations from coaches. I want to ask you about that after this.
Australia's hottest golfing podcast is Talk Birdie to Me with Nick O'Hearn and Mark Allen.
I thought I'll go and hit some balls. Go down to the range. Guess who's on the range?
Yeah, of course he is.
It's Tiger hitting balls. I drive the golf cart up behind him. He doesn't see me and just plonk the cart there, start hitting balls. He turns around and looks at me and goes, he said, what the f*** are you doing here?
Talk Birdie to Me. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
All right, so this has changed a bit. This has changed a bit. Brutal conversations from coaches. We saw a little bit of back and forth between Charlie Dixon and Ken Hinckley on the weekend.
Yes.
Did you see that? You would have been giving back.
No, I was yep. talking to the people.
Yep. But Charlie's a largish man.
He's massive. I've seen him at the boxing. I've seen him at a couple. He's fucking huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Scary man too.
And him and Ken had very direct conversations. But it was almost, that wouldn't have been, it wouldn't have been unusual 20, 25 years ago.
What was it about? Was they doing something? Was Kenny doing something wrong, or was Charlie going to him like, "Mate, you need to fix this"? Was it, or which way? Who was directing the conversation?
I think Charlie had come to Ken to explain something about either his matchup or the way the ball was getting inside forward 50 that he wasn't happy about. Yeah. And I think Ken sort of pushed back and said his 2 cents. But by the looks of it was a healthy conversation between a coach and a player. To be honest, it just looked a bit more aggressive than we normally see.
Was there a big blow up about it?
There was, but Ken Hinckley is so smart. I haven't got the grab with me, but he said, look, Charlie just came over and said he wasn't getting a good go from the umpires. Mm-hmm. And I said, mate, I know you don't get a good go from the umpires, but you have to keep presenting. And that's tough for Charlie because he doesn't get a good go from the umpires. So I told him just to keep... Fuck, no one picked up that Ken Hinckley was actually having a crack at the umpires. Yeah. And he came out, but he said it so smartly. It was
unbelievable. Very smart man.
Yeah, that's clever.
But was so Craig Sarcevich, was he your first coach?
Yes, yep.
Was he direct or was it more new age?
No, he was pretty direct. He was direct in a good way, like not in a way that was ever sort of too brutal or anything like that. But sort of if you did something that wasn't quite right. I remember one of the games we did review. I got headbutted, like accidental headbutt, and absolutely smashed my nose. Like my nose was sideways on my face. The doctor had to like pull it down and straighten it for me to stop it bleeding. And I was like, oh, just it's my nose. Tape it back up. I'll go back on. Yeah. Like it was early in the game. And then later in the game, like with the Voldemort strapping all around the nose. The ball was sort of in a 50-50 and I was like, I didn't put my head over it because I was like, I've just smashed my nose. I'm probably not going to put my head over it. And that came up on review and I was like, are you kidding? Yeah. Like, next time I'll just sit on the bench with me nose holding the tissue to it. But yeah, he was brutal when he needed to be, and I think that's why we've seen the Brisbane girls up there so successful. And I think that just shows that sort of kind but clear, and expectations are really clear under him, and you know what you need to do and you know what you can and can't get away with. I think he was good.
Is the coaching, I know coaching is obviously different in the men and women's, but can they still, are you allowed to get baked and stuff like that? Can the women cop like the old fashioned fucking right between the eyes, or is that just out of the game now?
No, I think they can. I think it just needs to be from a team perspective rather than a personal perspective, because I think women are naturally more empathetic. I know this is a generalization, but we are more empathetic. So if I'm your best mate and he has a crack at you, he's technically having a crack. Like I feel that for you.
Yeah.
Whereas I think boys are more like, oh, thank fuck it's not me. Yeah. Whereas girls, absolutely. Yeah. And I think girls are more like, oh, that wasn't very fair. Like she did this or she's done this in the game. Whereas boys are just like, oh, well, it's not me, so I'm glad. So I think that definitely can cop a spray, like mids, what are you doing, like on a general term. Yeah. But personal stuff, personal stuff I think affects the team a little bit more.
So we had Craig McRae last year, and he's been there for a couple of years, but obviously we're in the premiership, Ted Lasso style, was about a bit more fun, a bit more enjoy yourself.
I'm not sure that's going at the minute.
Well, Darcy Moore runs out in the grand final day. I'm sure him and these team were the first team to run out with a big smile on their face. We've seen enough. It used to be, you know, straight ahead and all that. Things have changed. I'm not sure if rugby league has changed as much. So I can set this. Now, have you seen this gag around from Des Haslam?
I don't know what you're talking about.
So just tell me if this is a bit more old school. What
is this? Is this current
now
coaching?
I believe it's Des Hasler giving his team a spray.
Is he still coaching Manly?
Gold Coast Titans, I think.
He's coached the Titans now.
Well, here's the thing. I just wanted to set this up, but it's got lots of likes and all that. I'm just not positive it's him because it could be AI. There's some vision, but whether it's hidden camera or not, but I still want to play it.
Okay. Well, what's the context? He's giving a spray to his team.
Yeah, so they're all there at the halftime sheds in their little trestle tables and all that.
Where we're at now, tactics-wise, we should have been out in January, but you cunts don't get it.
minute, you go back to what doesn't work. What has never worked for you. And you keep doing it and doing it. Every fucking week, you keep doing what doesn't work for you. That's why you're fucking dumb. You fucking shit. You want to put up with that, you shit. Fucking crap. Pimpy. What's going on, brother? You fucking shit. Sit on the bench. Goons, you're playing on a fucking spot. He's under 12 level. Under 12 level.
I just want to leave. So I don't know
real.
If it's right.
No, I was going to say, I'm not sure that's real.
I don't know if it's real, but I hope it is.
That sounds a lot like Mick Mulder's back in the day. It sounds like some of the sprays we use. Mick, there's no way Mick could coach today. He'd just bubble. He'd get real personal. He could coach the women, let me tell you.
You can coach
the boys, the men today. fuck, some of the sprays used to give us. So exactly what you're talking about. If someone else was getting a spray, I'd be great. The popcorn and go, you fucking beauty.
Yeah. Somebody else will come my way next.
You're beautiful. He'd perform me, he'd go get some vision on me. Go get some vision on Swan. I don't give a fuck what it is. Get some vision on Johnson. And everyone would be half bad and be like, you're fucking killing your teammates. Why the fuck does anyone want to play with you? Well, all this got my massive sprays. It was like, Dawsey one day, he's up at halftime. He's don't want to catch their eyelid. Catch their eyes. Sitting down. I must have been going okay, so I didn't really. A couple of times he walked into me and said, you fucking shit house at halftime. You've done fuck all. You've had 19. You're going okay. Just move on. And he told Dawsey one day at halftime, he's like, Dawsey, what have you done? He's yelling at everyone. Dawsey, what have you done for us? He goes, oh, fuck all, Mick. He goes, you haven't done fuck all. You've done fuck all. Things like that, mate. He was funny. He called Sharad the fifth battle because no one knew who the fuck he was. Mate, he was gold. And he'd laugh about it after the game, but he'd just lose his mind. Like, half the shit, he wouldn't even know what he was saying. He'd just go berserk and just like, we'd have to remind him what he said. And then he'd like laugh about it, especially if we won. We wouldn't bring it up if we lost. Sometimes we'd be up by fucking 8 goals and he'd be spaking people. Spraying. Yeah.
I thought of you. So someone in the media, doesn't matter who, but sent me a message saying, you haven't got that vision of Sam Newman pouncing on Mick Malthouse and Eddie Maguire at a lunch. Now, the context for those, Mick's coach at West Coast, we're doing the footy show over in Perth, and there's talk about maybe Collingwood, had been announced that he wasn't going to coach. Was it going to be Malcolm Blight, Rodney Eder, or whoever it was at the time? And we have a camera crew, we walk up, and there's Eddie and Mick and the two wives all having lunch together. Gets a huge reaction, obviously, and in the end, Mick becomes coach. But straight after that, we interview him. And Sam says, you're going to tell me you weren't asking, Eddie wasn't asking about being a coach. And Mick turned his head and looked at me off camera, because I was producing at the time, and gave the wink. And I thought, that's what you've always said. Watch this. Yeah. So Mick was the master at the wink, wasn't he?
Yeah, always in the media. Like, he'd do it just for our amusement. Like, I don't know if you know much about Mick. He was quite a prickly pair to the media. But, like, he just, like, I'll watch his boys and winkers and just go in and go off at the media, which probably, probably couldn't do it these days. But, yeah, he just was so much like us against them mentality and so focused about the internal rather than the external, which is, I guess, most coaches are these days. But
publicly, he'd always have your back.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
He'd spray you, but then going out to the media, he'd always have your back. Yeah, and course. I think that's a big thing as a coach spray me all you want. Behind closed doors, but when sort of other people are asking about our club, I hope you stick up for us. And I think when your coach does that, that's what means a lot to you as a player.
Absolutely. So what have you noticed observationally about the way AFL coaches work compared to maybe behind the scenes?
I think it's just that. I think sometimes it's things that they don't agree with that your team's doing, clearly. You're not winning, you're not playing well, but then publicly you'd hope that would be a different front. They'd go out and they'd support you. And I think I've done a bit of coaching now where I think that's the most important thing is if the players think you've got their back, they'll do a lot for you. Whereas if you go out and just sort of hide behind them in a way and say that they made all the mistakes and that's not what we're trying to achieve this season. I think one of the ones that sort of stood out this year is Sam Mitchell against Melbourne Hawthorn. obviously got that game plan wrong. They were chipping the ball in the back half and it was the most boring game to watch. And he came out during the week. He said to the boys, like, I'm sorry I got that wrong. Coaches, we let you down kind of thing. Came out in his press conference and admitted that. Whereas I think some coaches would really struggle to admit that they made those mistakes. And as a player, you'd kind of be like, mate, we just did what you told us to do.
Yeah.
And now you've come out and said we did the wrong thing. So I think that speaks volumes to a playing group.
You said you've done some coaching. Is that something interests you?
Yeah. So I was at the Western Bulldogs last year with their AFLW program as the forward line coach. Loved it. Haven't been able to – I was ready to go again, but then got a few more opportunities in the media. So time-wise, couldn't really do it. And media pays a little bit better than AFLW. So, yeah, it's definitely something I'll go back to, though. I'd love to eventually, when the AFLW comes in down in Tassie, love to coach down there. And
why Tassie?
Potentially, I just think, like – I think what they're building down there and the state itself is going to really get behind that team, both men's and women's, and I think it's a fantastic thing.
I was going to say, you don't like the weather, you want to go down there. Yeah.
Well, I've gotten used to here now, so a new challenge weather-wise. Well, but yeah, I think that's going to be such an exciting prospect, having a team down there.
Sam Mitchell said to his team, bring your mouth guards.
Yeah.
Does that get any memories for you?
Yeah, we say it all the time, but I'd be a bit sore.
That was a sore foot week, was
it? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was a bit sore today, mate. Yeah.
Might need a jab to get through.
Exactly. If you play it all right, is that what they call it, rabbit burrows, or, you know, the old one where one's shepherding, one's tackling, you know, that one.
Oh,
like,
I hate
in
that
a circle,
drill.
Mate, that was a pit. Yeah. And you wouldn't stop. You couldn't stop. Well, you know, you couldn't stop till you got him, and the crowd, the boys were going berserk. You know that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like that, we do all that. Or,
and you go from shepherding to having the footy.
Yeah.
And you're already like stuffed from shepherding, and then you're trying to run away from a guy that's...
And if you're going bad, you're just stuck in the middle. Like, you got these fresh blokes coming in, just hammering you, and then like, you know, five coaches kick the ball, and it was just one-on-one. It was just like, kick the ball like 10 metres away and you both have to fucking go for it. And like, I wasn't real super competitive against my teammates, but like, they both would smash in, like, tackle you. I was like, no thanks.
Was behind the game goal vision right in when you started? Or?
Yes. Yeah. So it's been around the whole time. So three angles on everything.
How do you go in those post-meetings when things weren't great? Because I was watching Fox Footy, Carlton, Adelaide. They were brutal, some of the stuff they showed at the Carlton players. No. And I just thought, wow, imagine being in that Carlton meeting with Vossie.
It's one I got right for math science. I tipped the Crows. Still going to get that. Yeah.
Do you know what math science is, Kate? You're into your maths?
Yeah, no.
You don't know what math science is?
No.
It's a...
Gambling.
Yeah, it's a gambling podcast, but it's a scientific method of picking winners.
Yeah, right, okay. Yeah. Probability and...
Yeah, well
all things Adelaide
were a math science moral on the weekend, I thought.
Yeah,
they were just Jew.
Yeah. Math science.
That just means they're Jew.
There's absolutely no maths or science about it.
No, there's not. No, it's just my brain. But thanks, they're Jew. Yeah.
But that would be a big difference between women and men footy in the explaining stuff at times. Because I reckon coaches would be a bit more direct, Dane.
I think so.
In meetings, post-game.
Well, yeah, meetings are great. Yeah. Well, when you do a review, you'd always look up and think, I'm on the bench here, you beauty.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm not in this clip.
Like you said earlier, you sit back and go, ha ha. Who's that thing? Or you'd see yourself and go, no, I'm out of that play. You go, oh, fuck, I remember that.
Yeah.
I looked at him and I was like, he took a chance and I was like, nah, he's not going to get this. So I'll save it for when they turn it over. I'll be 50 metres goal side. And you can see, oh no, it's nothing worse. You could feel it live when you're playing out there, you're like, I can't be fuck chasing him. Well, I'm just going to stop, because if we turn it over, I'm on.
Yeah.
And it's fair to say my balance was probably shifted a little bit more towards the offensive side than the defensive side. So
a bit of a downhill skid.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So a couple of times you'd be like, nah, and you'd be like, oh, he's fucking going to get it.
Yeah.
And you're like, you walk back in the middle and four blokes would walk past you and go, that's your goal. Yeah, well, I got two the other way, so I'm one up.
Yeah, still winning.
Exactly. But then Monday, that, you know, this is going, oh, fuck. Yeah, sorry.
You'd be out there and you'd be like, this is definitely coming up in review. And you'd be like, exactly. Oh, God. And then it would come up and you're like, ah, there it is.
Yeah, you're like, fuck. The first one, too, I knew that was going to happen. Yeah, sorry about that. Just didn't see him. Didn't see him. He started 2 minutes away from me and I'm 60. Wow, my God. Yeah, sorry. Just when you're at home in trouble at home, yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Do you ever have the teammates that always used to, like, have a reason for it?
Ah, yeah.
And it's like, just shut up. Just take it. This meeting's going to be over a lot quicker if you stop trying to justify why you went in the right spot.
And it's like, then the coach would make it, well, just get some more clips on him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, what was this one then?
Exactly. Like, or the blokes who never got out. You said, mate, oh, he was fucking next to me.
Yeah.
Like, why doesn't penalties ever get yelled at? he's walked once or twice in a football field. Let me tell you, I've been next to him. So yell at him. Stop yelling at the same blokes. It's not our fault.
I went to the Demons. I'm in the Melbourne Catering. And they put on a little thing for us at a Muse last year. And they showed some behind the ground vision and what each player's doing. And I came back here and I said the name. What struck me was two superstars like Oliver and Petrarca. They're running down the ground, but they're really looking at what their own players are doing at the same time, even when they've got the ball.
Yeah.
And you said, that's just the trick.
Yeah, well, Petrarca and Oliver, mate, this is a hill I'm willing to die on. Great offensive players are not great defensively. It just does not. It cannot happen. You cannot run as hard defensively as you run offensively. You can be somewhere in the middle and have like 20 a game, 22 and run both ways.
Yeah.
You cannot have 35 a day and just be so blistering offensively and like so aggressive and fast and like you cannot sprint 80 metres forward and then sprint 80, 120 metres back and sprint. Your body just won't let you. But it's fine. I don't care. Yeah. It's fine. These are great offensively minded players. We need them, and so that's why you have role players to do the shit jobs that the good players can't do.
That's why you have three midfielders.
Exactly.
Because not all of them can do the same role. No. I'm with you. Like you can't have players that sort of sit either side of the fence and be dominant one way or the other. You'll have a player that will play 10 or 12 tackles, but will have 12 or 13 posies because of that.
Exactly. The transitioning from offense to defense is so fucking quick. If you've got the ball and you've, you know, linked up in three or four handball chains, you've got the ball, kicked the forward and it's turned over, how quickly you have to transition, bang, all right, it's half of them are like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
That wasn't a bad kick. Had four then. You take a couple of seconds just to get yourself together. By then, the ball's down there. So then you might walk and then jog. You're not jogging back defensively. You're jogging back thinking, all right, you jog back going, well, where's the space here? Right, if that ball gets turned over there, I'll sprint again, but I'm going to sprint to the fat side and get like a switch kick. That's what I'm going to do. So you're running back, but you're not running back to help someone. You're running back to get the link in the chain. So it's just the way it is. And like I've said, how many defensive specialists win Brownlows and all Australians? Zippo.
Yep, fair.
Maybe Libba. Libba's probably the last one.
Exactly. Yeah. What's your attitude when you're seeing a player doing mistake? And maybe not a skill error, but they didn't put in hard enough. As far as a lot of players, ex-players will go out and look after their mates or people who have been there, but equally you're going to bring a point of difference. Do you want to be direct or you want to try and be balanced, or how do you try and put it? What's your mindset?
I'll sort of usually give them a bit of a clip in a way that's not like, oh, that wasn't good enough. What's he doing? Like, as if he could do that kind of thing, because we've all been there, like we've just said. Mm-hmm. But sort of like, oh, probably wouldn't be super happy with that effort or things like that, rather than sort of going the full barrel approach of what is he doing? Like, he needs to run back here or needs to do this, needs to do that.
Because the Triple M approach is, if you don't go hard enough on a player, instead of your co-commentator going hard on that player, they'll go hard on you for not going hard on that player, even though they don't say it themselves.
Yeah, that's it. So
have you learned?
Yeah, definitely. I think the Triple M way now is more just talk about yourself as much as you can and make yourself sound really good and then compare it to a player that's on the field. Any excuse to get your own sort of highlights up there or what you used to do. So, I think footy media is a little bit different than what it used to be, in the sense that like no one wants to just hear you bag players the entire time. Yeah. And I don't really like being that kind of commentator. I think most are absolutely doing their best. They're out there for a reason. And if they've had zero to half time, well, then it's time to maybe be like, okay, what are they doing? Why are they having no impact on this game? But on the other side, how can the coach assist them to get into the game as well? So rather than just baking people the whole time.
You like Dale Thomas?
I do.
Yeah. Do you like food and cooking?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, what are you doing 1:30 on a Saturday?
This Saturday?
Yeah.
I'm commentating with Dale Thomas.
Oh, yeah. Well, because there's a...
Oh, no, that's Bernie. I'm with Bernie Vince.
Bernie Vince? I was with him. There's a brand new TV show coming on Saturday at 1:30.
Oh, hey.
Yeah.
Isn't this the first week?
I think so. It's the 20th. Yeah. It was meant to start last week. Got it bumped already. Bumped before we started. it's called Taste Buds with Dane Swan.
Oh, hey.
Yeah, Dale Thomas is our first guest.
Enjoy that.
Yeah, so...
What are you cooking this week? Are you cooking or do you go sample
things? No, I don't exactly know. Now we're cooking brisket. Brisket.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Must be a long TV show then if you're going to cook brisket on it.
Yeah, no, it goes for 36 hours. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I thought I'd better get that in there. For everyone out there, 1:30 on 7 May, primetime television.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I know everyone's glued to their couches at 1:30 on a Saturday afternoon.
A bit like my show on Armchair Experts at 11:30 after the footy. PM, that is.
Is that 7 May or 7?
7.
Oh, fuck, you're on the big channel.
Yeah. Who are you with there?
Cam Luke and Adam Cooney, and then Tommy Sheridan and I sort of swap in and out week by week. Yeah. He's got some great stories about sprays as well.
Tommy's a very good man.
Been coached by Ross Lyon, I think, similar. Exactly. He probably could share war stories with you about Mick Malthouse as well.
So 1:30, 7 May, primetime television. It's the start of a Logie award-winning career.
That's it.
Yeah, or a very short one.
We really appreciate you coming full stop, but also the fact that you're off to work now.
Yes, off to work with Dunny, Lyndon Dunn. I think he's been on here before, has he?
Yes.
Yep.
What are you doing?
So I work for the YJFL, the Junior Football League at Yarra. Mm-hmm. So I look after the girls' footy, Dunny does the boys' footy, and then together we do sort of all the fixturing and footy ops as well.
Is it a full-time job?
4 days a week. And then, my 1 day a week I do media on the Thursday.
Yep.
Saturday's footy and a commentary game, and then Sunday all day at the Yarra Junior Football League.
It's a whole lot of footy for you, isn't it?
It is.
You're footied out by October?
Not really. It's sort of all a bit different.
And because in the women's, when's the women's league start?
Women's is last week of August, I think, again, with the bye. So it'll coincide with the bye round just before finals for them.
So are you involved in the women's?
I'll do commentary again this year.
So it's footy all year round?
Pretty much, yeah. But
you're not burnt out? You don't fucking go, I need a holiday?
Well, I feel like sitting and watching commentating football from the best seat in the house, you get to sit there and watch the games live and talk about it. I find like my work at Yarra Juniors, like 4 days a week, that's like my job.
Can you gamble on that?
No. It's junior football.
There's not a market.
We bet on 2-year-olds.
Yeah, that's horses though. Okay. So I find that work, but commentary and talking about footy and stuff, I just enjoy. It's fun.
Do you get a break? Like, do you actually get a break where you can go, I'm going to Bali for 2 weeks?
Or so I might, probably Christmas this year I will. Yeah, Christmas, over Jesus. Christmas.
It's a long time from now.
And my partner and I are getting married next March, so we might have a nice break after that. So
where are you getting married?
Post Office Hotel in Coburg.
Oh, so in Melbourne. Yeah, beautiful. Yeah.
So then we'll go for a nice holiday after that. Yeah. Come along. We're not going to pay you to be there, though. Is that all right?
What was that date? I think I'm busy.
Brilliant. And just do you have to check yourself through the year at times when, because it's year round, as we touched on then? Ironically, Luke Darcy, and he said this on our podcast, has had this theory for years. About round 12, all the footy media turn on each other.
Oh, yeah.
And Darce selflessly brought it forward.
Exactly. He did it, gather round. Yeah. Got in early this year.
Do you have to check yourself up? I go, I'm getting paid to talk about footy at the MCG in a great seat.
Oh, I think I just kind of fly under the radar. I don't really bring my ego into
it. Do you remind
box?
Some of the other guys? That
oh, no, nah, I just watch it with the popcorn like Sonny was saying earlier. Yeah. That's entertaining.
Brilliant. Loving what you're doing with your career. Hopefully it continues, and look forward to watching you and listening to you in the future.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys, so much.
Ox and Marco, a couple of great mates with a fun podcast. And occasionally, well, let's just say it can get a little sexy.
No, it wasn't my first pash.
Okay.
It was my first...
Early.
Emotional pash. Or the first one with feelings. In the back of a laser.
Right.
Little Ford laser gear it was too. So, it had, you know, it had the velour seats.
First pash, I was 11 years old.
Oh, here we go.
11?
11 years old.
I didn't even know I had anything at 11.
And I was on a cricket pitch.
Oh.
in Box Hill.
Don't tell me you bowled her over.
No.
Ox and Marco's Couple of Blokes podcast. Lots of fun, plenty of banter, and even the odd bit of romance. There's a new episode every Wednesday. Just search Couple of Blokes wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.